This model presupposes a pattern of small and gradual changes that lead to innumerable variations in living beings. These variations are what are screened by natural selection. There are various alternatives to this picture, for instance, the possibility of large and sudden changes, and hence a view of evolution developing through leaps in which the transformations of organisms are not piecemeal, but dramatic. Likewise, there is a debate about whether natural selection is the sole mechanism of change or whether other factors are involved as well. The explosion in genetic science of very recent times has given incomparably greater sophistication and specificity to our understanding of evolution at the molecular and genetic level. With immaculate timing, just before the 50th anniversary of the discovery of the structure of DNA by James Watson and Francis Crick in 1953, the sequencing of the human genome was completed. This colossal feat carried the promise of untold technological and medical potential. I heard about the sequencing of the genome in an unusual way. On the day the American President Bill Clinton and the British Prime Minister Tony Blair jointly made the announcement, I was in the United States and scheduled to appear on the Larry King Live Show. Since I hear the news only early in the morning or at the end of the day, I had missed the announcement that afternoon. So when Larry King asked me what I thought of it, I hadn't the faintest idea what he was talking about. Somehow I couldn't connect the announcement of a scientific breakthrough of this magnitude with two politicians making press statements. The fact that my interview was conducted through a satellite link-up did not make the conversation any easier, so it was Larry King on live television who broke the news to me. The broader implications of this amazing scientific feat are becoming increasingly felt. I've had the opportunity to talk with scientists working in the field, especially the geneticist Eric Lander at MIT. He showed me around his laboratory at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard, where many of the powerful machines used for sequencing the human genome are at work, and demonstrated some of the stages involved in sequencing a genome. At one of the Mind and Life conferences, Eric explained the human genome by comparing it to the Kangyur, the collection of scriptures attributed to the Buddha and translated into Tibetan, which has just over 100 volumes of about 300 folios each. The massive book of the genome has 23 chapters, the 23 human chromosomes, and each set of the genome, one set from each parent, contains between 30,000 and 80,000 genes. Each of these chapters is written on a long chain of DNA in three-letter words which are composed of the four letters A, C, G, and T, adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine, sequenced in all possible combinations. Imagine, Eric suggested, that during the millions of years of copying this book, every now and then some small errors creep in, just as in the hundreds of years of copying it by hand, small scribal errors, misspellings, and substitutions of words enter the text of the Kangyur. These errors may be perpetuated in subsequent copying, which then introduces new copying variations, and so on. Some of these spelling variations may not have a radical impact on the reading of the text. However, sometimes there occurs a crucial spelling error that can have far-reaching consequences. In the analogy to the canonical text, although the change may be a single spelling error, if this is, say, from a positive to a negative word, there may be a radical effect on the meaning of a sentence or the reading of the whole text. It is these random variations in spelling, I am told, which are the mutations that occur naturally in the evolutionary process. According to some biologists I have spoken with, there is a growing consensus that the occurrence of genetic mutations, regardless of how natural they may be, remains entirely random. However, once such mutations take place, the principle of natural selection ensures that, on the whole, those mutations or changes that promote the best chance for survival get selected. As the American biologist Ursula Goodenough aptly put it at a Mind and Life conference in 2002, mutation is utterly random, but selection is extremely choosy. From a philosophical point of view, the idea that these mutations, which have such far-reaching implications, take place naturally is unproblematic. But that they are purely random strikes me as unsatisfying. It leaves open the question of whether this randomness is best understood as an objective feature of reality or better understood as indicating some kind of hidden causality.